My text verse tonight is verse 52, where the Bible says, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." You know, I used to think when I was growing up that it'd be a lot easier to serve God, easier to live a committed, dedicated Christian life if I could have lived when Jesus did. If I would have had the opportunity to see in person, here's miracles, to be there and hear with my own ears Him preach. If I had the opportunity, when I had a question, to be able to go directly to Him and get that question answered. If I could go to Him with problems and get a solution to those problems. If I could go to Him when I needed to be encouraged, then He would encourage me. It would have been a lot easier to live a life that would be pleasing to the Lord. And then I saw this verse. Their hearts were hardened. Now, this verse is not just talking about those that follow Jesus from a distance. This verse is talking about His disciples, talking about the ones that Jesus chose to be with Him, to help Him in His earthly ministry, the ones that for at least 3 years heard His voice first thing in the morning, saw His face the last thing at night. The ones that when they needed a private explanation, Jesus would take them aside and explain a parable that He had just taught or explain a statement that He had just made. These were the ones that, for the most part, saw every miracle, heard every sermon, were with Jesus probably more physically than anybody else that ever lived on the face of the earth. And here's what I thought. If these men, if their hearts could be hardened, then mine could be too, and yours could be too. And so tonight, I have a real simple message. I have 3 points. I want to point out to you the reasons their heart was hardened. I want to tell you what happened when they were, and then I want to come to my third point and tell you how they got over it, how they fixed their hard hearts. And so let me just start by telling you why I think some of the reasons their heart got hardened. I'm going to mention 2 to start out with, but then I'm going to get to my third one and spend most of the time on that, because I think that was the basic reason why they had hard hearts this night. So in Mark chapter 6, it's an exciting chapter. Jesus had sent the disciples out 2 by 2 to preach. They come back all excited. They told their master where they'd been. They told Jesus what they had done. And at Jesus, after hearing their report, He said, let's go someplace and rest. You need to rest. In verses 30 and 31 of that chapter, it says, "And the apostle gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." First reason I think their hearts were hard is that they were busy. They were busy doing good things, but they were busy. I mean, they'd been preaching, they'd been teaching, they'd been healing, they'd been counseling folks, they helped Jesus feed a big crowd that day. And I don't want to imply tonight that it's bad to be busy. We ought to be busy for the Lord. We ought to look for ways to serve Him. But sometimes we get so busy in our service for the Lord that we forget to take time to develop our relationship with Him. Carol sort of touched on it when she shared her testimony tonight about her and Andy getting away and spending some time together, just the two of them, one-on-one. I remembered when I was working, and many of you know when I was working for GM, I had a job that I traveled a lot. And so when I got home, I made it a point. I just wanted to do things for Debbie. I just wanted to make up for all the time that I was gone. And so I'd come home and she didn't have to make me out a honey-do list. I made myself out one, because I knew all the things that needed to be done that I thought would please her if I got them done. And so I'd usually get home late Friday night, and I'd start Friday night and then spend most of the day Saturday. And often she would stop me and say, "Hey, look, I appreciate all the things that you're planning on doing, but would it be okay if we just went for a walk? Would it be okay if we just went out into the woods, you and me, alone, together, and just spend some time together where we could talk one-on-one?" You know, I think that's sometimes the way God feels. We get so busy doing good things for Him. And again, some of you were out bus calling on Saturday. Some of you were here Friday morning cleaning the church. Some of you were here last Monday and worked from sun up to sundown almost. And some of you were here Wednesday night, and most of you were here this morning. And all those things are good. And please don't misunderstand me. I think we ought to be busy for God. I think we ought to find as many ways as we can to serve Him. But sometimes I think God wants to just grab us and say, "Hey, stop for a minute. Let's just talk. Let me speak to you through my word. You speak to me in prayer. Let's just spend some quality time together. Where you just sit down and we commune together and we fellowship together in the word and in prayer." And I think these guys were hardened. These disciples, their hearts were hardened because they had been busy. I mean, they had planned to rest, but the Bible says that when they went to rest, there were so many people milling around and there were so many things to do. They had no leisure so much as to even eat. And in our busy schedules, we need to take time and again, everybody needs physical rest. I mean, it's wonderful to say, "Well, I work for the Lord 24/7, 365 days a year." And that's a wonderful thing to say, but God wants you to get some rest in there. And I know for sure He wants some time one-on-one with you where you're not busy, you're not working, you're just listening to Him through His word. You're communing with Him in prayer. So, I think one reason their hearts were hardened is that they were busy. I think another reason their hearts were hardened is that they were physically tired. Jesus said, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." Again, they were physically tired. They were physically exhausted. Jesus said, "You need some rest." But I think not only were they physically tired, I think they were tired of people. Look what happened. In Mark chapter 6, verses 32 and 33, "And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him." Jesus said, "Look, I need to get you guys apart. We need to go rest." So they got into a ship. They wanted to go to a desert place where they could be by themselves and rest. Well, the people heard where they were going, and they beat them there. I mean, they weren't in the ship. They went on foot, and they got to the place that Jesus was taking his disciples before they got there. And in verse 34, the Bible says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, 'This is a desert place, and now the time is far past.'" They said, "Lord, our time with you, it's gone. The time we were going to be together and the time we were going to rest is gone. Our time of recreation is gone. Our time to be apart from the multitudes is far past." And notice what it says in the first part of verse 36 of that chapter. The disciples said, "Send them away. Just tell them to go. Master, just tell them to go home. Just send them away." Do you ever get to the point in your life where you just get tired of people? I remember when I was going to college, I had some weird roommates. I had one guy, we'd have popcorn at night. He was the only guy I knew that could slurp popcorn. I mean, I won't even try to make the sound. I'll mess up my tongue if I do. He would slurp popcorn. I mean, and I was glad I went to school where we only had a roommate for 6 weeks, because if you made a mistake picking your roommate, you could fix it the next time you came to school. I never roomed with that guy again. I never wanted to. But there are some people that I have known through my life that I would join the disciples and just say, send them away. Send them away. I mean, Jesus saw the crowd and he had compassion. The disciples were tired. They said, just send them away. And so their hearts were hardened. They were busy. They were tired. But here's the main reason. Here's the one I wanted to get to. Here's the one that George testified a moment ago. Their hearts were hardened because they began to take the things of God for granted. Our text verse, verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Jesus said, as these people came to where he was, that disrupted his quiet time with the disciples, disrupted his rest time with the disciples. He taught them. Now the day has passed. And the disciple says, Lord, send them home. And Jesus said, oh, we can't do that. The day is past. We got to give them something to eat. We have to feed this crowd before they go. And Jesus asked a question. What have you got? What have we got that we can feed this crowd with? And it's told. This story is also told in the book of John. But Andrew comes to Jesus and said, "Well, I've sort of scouted out the crowd. I found a little boy. He's brought a lunch. He's got five little loaves and two fishes." But Andrew said, "What is that among so many?" And again, that would make a good sermon sometime. Instead of looking at what we have and deciding it's not enough to do anything for God, we ought to say, God, this is what I have, and then depend on God to use it to do something that we can't. He took that little lunch, five little pieces of bread and two fish, and the Bible says he fed 5,000 men, and it was probably a Baptist meeting. No offense to anybody. It was probably a Baptist meeting that afternoon. And at Baptist meetings, there's usually two or three times as many women and children as there are men. So there were probably 20,000 people in the crowd that day. And our Savior took five little pieces of bread and two fish and fed everybody. It was like going to a buffet because they got all they wanted to eat. Amen, Brother Paul. Amen. It was like going to Paul's house for a family reunion. You could just keep going back and eating and eating and eating and eating. That's what Jesus did. He told his disciples, take up the leftovers. They collected the leftovers. There was 12 baskets full of leftovers. I've often wondered what happened to those leftovers. I wonder if the disciples got to keep them, 12 baskets, one per disciple, or if Jesus said at the end of the day, okay, follow that little boy home and give his mother the leftovers from this feast. Can you imagine the little boy marching home, 12 guys lined up behind him, all carrying a basket overflowing with fish and bread, him coming home saying, Mama, 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 you'll never guess what happened today. And she says, I sent you with a little lunch. You came home with 12 baskets full of food, probably feed the family for months. He had fed, again, a large number of people with a small amount of food. And so he tells the disciples, you get in the ship, you go head toward home. I'll send the crowd away. So he sends the disciples, get in the ship, they leave. Jesus goes to the mountain to pray. A storm comes up. The Bible says the wind blew contrary. In other words, it was blowing in the opposite direction of the disciples that the disciples were going. Jesus sees them toiling in the ship as they were rowing now. They pulled the sails down and manned the oars to try to get to the other side. And he comes walking to them on the water. They're troubled, but he says, don't be afraid, it's me. Now, they didn't even recognize him. I'll talk about that in a minute. But he got in the boat, and we read it in the scripture where it said that when he got in the boat, that the storm immediately ceased. The wind just didn't die down. It died immediately. The waves just didn't calm down over a period of time. They calmed down immediately. And the Bible says that they were sore amazed beyond measure that he could calm the storm. Why were they sore amazed? I mean, they just spent the day with him, and they just seen him take five little pieces of bread and two small fish and feed probably 20,000 people. Why were they amazed? They were amazed because their hearts were hardened. Their hearts were calloused. They took for granted the things that their master could do. When I was in high school, I worked with Debbie's dad. Now, I told you before, I worked with my dad. My dad was a painter, and so I painted. Again, I started out in the closet, and once I got good enough to pass the closet inspection, he put me in the bathroom. Once I got good enough to pass the bathroom inspection, I got to go to a bedroom. Once I got good enough to pass the bedroom inspection, I got to go into the kitchen. You knew when you arrived when Dad said you could paint the living room. But Debbie's dad was a builder. He was a carpenter. And so in order to make some points with her, I volunteered, I'd go to work with him. This is why we were still dating. And so he said, okay, come ahead, I can use some help. And so I remember the first day that I went to work for him. He was building a house. And so he said, now I'm going to lay out the walls. You get a hammer and some nails, and you can nail them all together. And we worked from 6 o'clock in the morning till like 6 o'clock at night. And basically, I was hammering the whole day. You know, we read about that story about the guy that he fought so many Philistines that his hand clave to the sword. My hand clave to the hammer. And when I finally got my hand pried open that night, I had a blister on every one of my fingers and my thumb. He said, hey, you did a pretty good job. You want to come back tomorrow? I said, sure, I'll be back tomorrow. We did the same thing the next day. Do you know that every one of my blisters broke that next day? He said, now, he took Wednesday off because he was a pastor and he had some calling to do. And so he called me Thursday morning. He said, you want to work again? I said, sure. I knew I was making a lot of points with his daughter. So I said, sure. So I worked for him for several weeks. You know what happened to my hand? I developed calluses. I held that hammer so long that by the time I got through working with him, I mean, I could pick up sharp, not stones, what do they call those things? The building blocks, you know, they had the sharp corners on them, that you, like these things on the wall here. Cinder blocks, thanks, Brother Nick. I mean, I could pick up one of them in each hand and that not hurt my hand at all because I carried them on my calves. That's what happened to the disciples. They saw so many miracles of Jesus that their hearts became hardened. You know, they when they first started with Jesus, they were excited about what he did. I mean, they were there that day in Cana when he turned the water into wine. I can just imagine. Wow, did you see what he did? I mean, he had those servants fill those pots up with water, and then he told them to go back and draw it out, and it was wine, grape juice. It wasn't fermented. Jesus didn't create alcohol. He created unfermented wine. And then, first time he healed a blind man. Wow, did you see that? I mean, he just touched that guy's eyes and he could see. Or the first time he healed a lame man. What, man, this is hard to believe. I mean, all he did was speak and that lame man was healed. And I'm sure the first time that they saw Jesus work a miracle, they were excited. They enjoyed it. I mean, they said, man, this is, we've never seen this before. Never have a man done this. But I want to remind you, the miracles that we read about in the Bible, they're not everything that Jesus did. I mean, in the book of John, the Bible says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. We're just looking at the top of the iceberg about in the miracles that we read here in the Bible. He performed so many other ones that the Apostle John said, if we wrote them all down, the world couldn't hold the books. I can just imagine after the disciples had been with Jesus a couple years. I can just picture it in my mind. One of them goes off to run an errand. They come back to Jesus and the other disciples, and a crowd is gathered around them like often happened. And the disciple that has come back from running an errand says to another one, what's happening? And the other disciple says, oh, the usual. We've had some blind people cured and some lame people cured and some crippled people cured. I think there was 4 blind people and 3 cripples and 4 or 5 deaf people. I mean, it became commonplace. They got used to it. They became calloused to it. And so here they were. They had just seen Jesus take 5 little pieces of bread and 2 small fish and feed a crowd of 20,000. Then he comes walking to the ship that they were in the middle of the storm. He calms the storm, and the Bible says they were amazed. They said, how can this happen? And the reason they were amazed, because their hearts were hardened, because they had become so callous to the things that Jesus was doing, it had become so commonplace that they forgot who they were serving, they forgot who they were with, they forgot what he was capable of. Reason our hearts will get hard is that we begin to take the things of God for granted. You remember when you first got saved? When you realized that you were a sinner and you prayed and asked Jesus to be your Savior, and that moment that you realized that your sins were gone, that you were cleansed from all your sins, that you stood before God justified, that you stood before God just as if you'd never sinned, that you stood before God pure and clean, dressed in the righteousness of Christ. I mean, I can remember the night that I got saved. It was at night. I think it was a Tuesday night. I'm not sure about tonight. We were having a revival, and I've told you my testimony before. The pastor stopped me on the way out. He saw I was struggling in the pews, needed to make a decision, and he took me into his office, and we prayed. I remember coming out of his office. The stars were never brighter. The night never smelled so sweet. I went home. I called my grandma. I called my dad. I called my other grandma. I was excited. And you've heard me say it before. You were excited. I mean, if I gave you an opportunity to share your testimony, you'd probably say the same thing. I remember the time I got saved. I was excited about it. I was so happy that God forgave my sins. I was so happy that Jesus died for my sins. Now some of us have been saved 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50 years. I want to tell you tonight, never get over it. Don't get over it. Don't get calloused. Don't ever forget what Jesus did for you when he died to pay for your sins. Don't get over it. It is a great salvation. Praise God. How shall we escape? The book of Hebrews says, if we neglect so great a salvation, and it should be just as great today. If you've been saved 30 years as it was the night or the day you got saved, the moment you asked Jesus to be your Savior, it ought to be just as great tonight, if not greater than it was then, because you understand more what Jesus did to save you. Remember when you first started reading the Bible? After you got saved, you realized it was God's Word. You realized that the Creator of the universe wrote this book, and it was a love letter just to you. Yeah, everybody else was reading it too, but man, you thought, man, it's just for me. God wrote this book just for me. And you spent hour after hour after hour in this book. You'd be excited. You'd run across something. You'd have to call somebody up. Say, you know what I discovered in the Bible today? I saw a verse today I never saw before. Just spoke to my heart. Remember when you used to read the Bible like that? Well, we ought to still read the Bible like that. We ought to look for ways to spend more time in the Word of God. We ought not to just say, well, it's time to read my Bible reading, so I'm going to spend a few minutes reading the Word of God, and I got a lot of other stuff to do. You remember when you tried to get out of other stuff to do so you could spend more time in this book? That's the way it ought to be. This book was written. I still think this book was written just for me. It's God's message to me. I want to see what God has to say to me. I don't want to get my heart hard. I don't want to get calloused. Remember when you first got saved, how you enjoyed coming to church? I mean, they couldn't keep you from coming to church. You were here every time the door was open. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You remember, I mean, there was nothing, absolutely nothing that got in the way of you coming to church when you first got saved. Is it that same way? Is your heart hardened? Have you been taking the things of God for granted? Say, preacher, I still read the Bible. I still come to church. I still rejoice in my salvation. Do you? Do you as much as you used to? Do you? And again, it ought to be more. Because the more time we spend as a Christian, the more we understand what Jesus did for us when he saved us. And we ought to be closer to him today than we were when we got saved. So, their hearts were hardened. They became callous because they began to take the things of God for granted. Listen, if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, listen to this. God doesn't owe us anything. Every blessing he has given us today was an act of his grace. We did not deserve one good thing that God did for us today. But I bet you, I don't bet, but I dare say that most people could stand tonight and take 30 minutes or more listing the good things that God has done for them today. And if you can't, you're not paying attention. Because we have a God that loves us, and every day he blesses us. I don't want to take him for granted. I don't want to not notice him. I want to revel in everything that God does. I want to be reminded of what he did to save me. I want to be reminded what he gave me in this book. I want to be reminded the privilege that he gives me to pray. I want to be reminded of what he's given us in this church. I don't want to get over it. I don't want it to become usual. I don't want it to become old hat. I want it to be new. His mercies are new every morning. They are new every morning. We got a God that loves us so much that every morning he pours out a bushel full of new mercies on us. Don't get over it. Don't take it for granted. All right, now I'm out of time. I got two more points. I have more material on the next two points than I had on the first one, but I'm going to hurry. Let me talk to you real quickly about the results of a hardened heart. They didn't know Jesus. He came walking to them on the water. They thought he was a ghost. They thought he was a spirit. They should have recognized him. Yeah, I know it was dark, but who else could walk on water but their master? Who else could walk on the surface of a sea but the one who had just that day taken five little loaves of bread and two fish and fed a big crowd? Who else but him could do that? They lost their faith. They not only didn't recognize him, they lost their faith. The Bible says when they saw him, they were troubled. They didn't have any peace. They didn't think that he could help with the problem. He had to say unto them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Don't be afraid. He didn't tell them he was going to calm the storm. He said, "Look, it's me. You can have peace because I'm here. I'd rather go through a storm with Jesus than to sail a calm sea without him any day. I'd rather go into the valley with Jesus than to live on the mountaintop without him." He said, "It's me. Peace, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. It's me. Just trust me." Okay, I gotta hurry. So, they didn't recognize him. They lost their faith. They didn't have peace. He said, "I'll give you peace. I'll calm the storm." And then quickly, number three, I want you to notice what they did to get over their hard heart. Let me read verses 52 and verse 53. "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or countries, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole." So, again, they spent a whole day serving with Christ. He'd fed the crowd. They went out on a ship. He came in the fourth watch, the Bible says, and calmed the sea. They got to the other side of the shore. They didn't sit down and rest. They didn't sit down and say, now, hey, we've toiled all night, we've worked all day, we've been up all night, now we're going to rest. What'd they do? They got busy. They got busy. There were more sick people to heal. There was more hungry people to feed. There were more people that needed to hear about the Savior. You want to know how to get over your hard heart? You want to know how to peel the calluses off your heart? Get busy serving God. Because when you serve God, you'll be reminded how good He's been to you. You'll be reminded the work that He worked in your life to save you. You'll be reminded of the privilege that you've given Him to be His disciple, to be His servant. They get over their hard heart by getting right back into the work of God. That's what we need to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the story of these men. If their hearts could be hardened, so could ours. And I pray, Father, that we wouldn't let it happen, that we would not take for granted the things that You have done for us. We would not take for granted the price that was paid for our salvation. We would not take for granted the blessings that come along with that. That every day we would remind ourselves, about what You did for us. And every day we would serve You. And so I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know what it is to have Your salvation, that doesn't know what it is to have their sins forgiven, that doesn't know what it is to stand before You justified, I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that You've been talking to them. You've pointed them to the Savior, and that they'd come and receive the gift of salvation that He offers to every person. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Some testified, most of us, if not all of us here tonight, are Christians. We've been bought by the blood. We're one of Your children. I pray, Father, that we would never take for granted our relationship with You. We would never take for granted the things that You did to pay for our sin. Help us to never get over it, that great salvation. So I ask You, Father, bless the invitation tonight. If our hearts are hard, help us come to this altar. Help us to ask for Your forgiveness. Help us to do what's necessary to peel the calluses off, to peel the hardness off, and to have a soft heart to remember what You did. So bless this time of invitation. I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.